This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Gusto. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll, benefits, and HR to small businesses across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Magazine. And as a listener, you get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Sign up and give it a try at gusto.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. So yesterday I spent time pretty much all afternoon and in the evening with students at Miami University up in Oxford, Ohio, which is just a short 1 hour drive from where I live. And I had the chance to give them some advice from The Accidental Creative from my first book and talk about how to structure your life to have ideas more consistently when you need them. And then in the evening, we had about 125 people show up for a book club speech where I spoke to them about The Accidental Creative, but also about life and career. And I said, I'm going to share with you the killer app. The thing that will get you promotions quicker, the thing that will catch the attention of your manager, catch the attention of potential clients. I'm going to give you the secret to career success. And of course, they all leaned in because they're about to jump into the marketplace. And then I shared with them what I'm going to share with you today. And I really do believe that what I'm going to share with you today is the secret to advancing farther, faster, and frankly, just to having a more satisfying career and a more meaningful career as you progress as a creative pro. So I'm going to dive into what that is. I call it the killer app in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Gusto. So if you have a small business, or if you know someone who does, I mean, we all do, you probably know that small business owners wear a lot of hats. And we do a lot of things that we love to do. It's why we got into business. But we also have to do some things like filing taxes, running payroll, that are not really in our sweet spot, not really the thing that we want to do, but we have to do them, right? Because we run a business. Well, that's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, expert HR support, all in one place. They are your go-to one-stop shop. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add health benefits and even a 401k for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way that modern small businesses work, but Gusto absolutely is. So let Gusto wear one of your many hats. You have better things to do and things you probably want to be doing. So let Gusto take the wheel. Listeners get 3 months free when they run their first payroll. Try a demo and see it for yourself at gusto.com/creative. That's gusto.com/creative. And we thank Gusto for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, I'm going to share with you what I believe to be the killer app. It is the single thing that has allowed me to write 4 books. It allowed me to get my original book deal, to create a podcast, to build a business, to have clients all over the world, you know, to travel the world speaking and sharing ideas. It is the single thing I think that will impact your life and your career the most. And it's probably going to be something that is right under your nose. It's so obvious. And I will almost guarantee you that you're probably not doing it. The killer app, which that phrase, by the way, was a phrase that emerged, you know, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, 15 years ago, for the app that sort of solved all of your problems, right? The single app that would solve all of your problems. I believe that the killer app is thought. Okay, now I know you're thinking, wait a minute, I think, right? I wouldn't be able to get through my day if I didn't think, but I'm not talking just about reactive thinking. I'm talking about responsive thinking. I'm talking about taking time, planning time, strategically blocking time in your day to think. Now, for many people, this sounds like a waste of time. It does, right? It sounds like you're going to be sitting around staring at the wall, and that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm talking about is planning time to think deeply about the problems you're facing, the relationships that you know you're dealing with at work or personally, taking time to think about the problems you've been handed by your manager, taking time to think about some of the complex issues related to your career and your life and your ambitions, taking time to think systemically, and most importantly, taking the time, by the way, the time that is absolutely necessary these days to distill the noise that we encounter on a daily basis into something actionable, something meaningful, something that will help us progress toward our ambitions. DeHaak, the founder and chair emeritus of Visa, had a framework that described how we turn all of the stimulus in our environment into something meaningful. He said there's a lot of noise in our environment. Noise is just random bits of stuff floating around us, you know, dots that are disconnected and just kind of bouncing off of us. We encounter a lot of noise, and noise becomes data when it achieves a cognitive meaning. So when it has some meaning, it's some coherence to it, then it becomes data. But data itself is not very useful. Data is only useful when it's combined to form information. Information is data that has been turned into some kind of a pattern that is meaningful. But information alone also is not very useful. Information can tell us about something, but it doesn't really tell us what that means. Information that is systemized becomes knowledge. Knowledge is systemized information, and knowledge can be very powerful. We can use knowledge to accomplish a lot, because once we have knowledge about a domain of expertise or something, then we can act on that knowledge and create value in the world. So knowledge is a very valuable commodity to have, but knowledge itself is also not the end. The end for DeHaak was wisdom. And knowledge becomes wisdom when it is guided by some kind of ethical framework, when there's a why behind the what. There's a why behind our choices, our decisions, our ambitions, what we do. So our goal, I believe, is to turn noise ultimately into wisdom. That's what we want to aim for. But in order to do that, friends, we have to think. And thought is very scarce in our world. Most people, if you think about it, you'll realize it's true. Most people go through their days reacting to stimulus in their environment, reacting to circumstances, reacting to client demands, reacting to new projects, but they don't really step back to think deeply about them, so that when they're in the moment where they have to make a decision or they have to in some way give their opinion, they have a well thought out, wisdom guided response, not a reactive answer. So when I was sharing this with the students last night, we did a little round table after my speech with a handful of students. And I said, I guarantee you that if you walk into a meeting and a lot of people are kind of rambling on about their immediate reactions to whatever question is asked, and you say, here's what I think we should do, blank, 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 and here are the reasons why I think we should do it, blank, 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 and here's what I think the potential outcomes are, blank, 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 right? And if you're able to give that kind of a response in a meeting because you've spent time actually thinking and developing your thoughts and really exploring, then whoever your manager is going to say, who are you and how can I get four more like you, right? Because that kind of well-reasoned response is very rare in our culture today. And frankly, it's also necessary for your creative work. Some of your best creative work is going to come from taking time to stop and to think and to connect dots and to spend time really spinning your wheels and trying to figure out different ways of approaching something. So how do we begin to build thought time into our life? So number one, the first thing, there are four principles. Number one, you have to plan it. It's not going to happen organically. It's not like you're suddenly going to say, you know what? I think now would be a great time to spend some time just thinking. No, it's not going to happen. So you have to plan it. And my recommendation is plan it during the hours that are least likely to be interrupted. So I would encourage you to try early mornings, late night, when there are very few things happening. There aren't any demands. Nobody's going to send you an email that they expect a response to in 5 minutes, right? Those things aren't happening early in the morning or late at night. So it could also happen through the middle of the day, but it's more likely to be interrupted, you know, if you try to do it over your lunch hour. So my encouragement to you is just think about, when am I going to strategically plan some thought time into my schedule? You want to also be consistent with your thought time. You might even want to develop a little ritual around it. So I was mentioning last night to the students that I have rituals around certain aspects of my work. When I sit down to write, I tell my Alexa, Alexa, I'm doing deep work, and it plays my writing playlist. My lighting changes in my office. I light a candle, the same candle I've been using for years and years and years. I light a candle to signal to my brain, hey, it's writing time. It's time to get to work, right? I send all of these signals to my body that it's time to orient myself toward this particular kind of work or thinking. So you might even want to develop a little ritual. You might want to go to the same chair and sit and think. You might want to do it during the same time of day every day. Just so you're kind of training your body. Okay, this is what happens when I go and I sit in this chair at this time of the day. But you want to be consistent. And then you want to keep yourself in the dark room. So when you're doing your thought time, you're going to want to gravitate toward whatever your first answer is, the first idea you have, the first thing that excites you, and you're going to become obsessed with it. And that's fine. And you can play with ideas or whatever, but you want to train yourself to stay in the dark room. This is a phrase that came out of my conversation with Adam Stelzner, who was the head of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory for NASA and responsible for the team that helped land the Mars Curiosity rover on the surface of Mars. And he said that when they were initially trying to figure out how they were going to land the Curiosity rover on the surface of Mars, they went back to the well, like all the places that they had or all the methods that they had used in the past, like parachutes and airbags and things of that nature to land something on the surface of another planet. But they realized that the Curiosity rover was far too sensitive to be able to use those old tried and true methods. So instead, they had to start thinking, you know, what other methods could we use to do this? And at first they said, well, bigger parachutes, you know, better airbags. But of course, that's not going to work. And so they started thinking about how do you move other large objects? Like if you have a priceless grand piano on the 35th floor of a skyscraper, how do you move it to another building? And they said, well, you would use a crane. And they thought, well, what if we created a kind of sky crane? Something that could lower the Curiosity rover to the surface. But, you know, I mean, you can't get a crane on the surface of Mars, right? It's not so easy. But they created this mechanism called a sky crane that would enter the atmosphere of Mars and it would suspend in the air, and then it would lower the Curiosity rover via a tether to the surface of the planet. Then the tether would be cut, the landing vehicle would fly off and like explode in the distance or whatever, but the Curiosity rover was safe on the planet. It was a remarkable innovation. I mean, just astounding. But Adam said that the only way they got there was by staying in the dark room, meaning staying in a place of uncertainty, staying in a place where they don't yet see the answer, and it's uncomfortable, and everything about you wants to gravitate to that first instinct, that first answer, but you can't let yourself do that. You have to stay in the dark room. And this is something you train yourself to do over time, to deal with ambiguity and uncertainty and the unknowing of the creative process. But the way that you do that is by practicing through thought time. So if you have a half hour set aside in the morning for thinking, and that's what you're going to do, you're going to sit and you're going to think about the problems you're facing, you're going to connect dots, you're going to try to somehow look for patterns, you're going to come up with well-reasoned responses to some of the problems that maybe your organization is facing. You want to train yourself to stay in the dark room and not just gravitate toward the first answer, not just be intellectually lazy and just, you know, move to the quickest thing that pops to mind, but instead train yourself to be looking for the second answer, the third answer, the deeper patterns behind what's going on. And then finally, during this time, you're going to want to synthesize. That's what you want to do. You're looking for bigger patterns. Your goal is to train yourself to think systemically, to see larger patterns, to connect domains, to think across domains. That's what you want to train yourself to do in the long run. And it begins by just dedicating the time and exploring your thoughts and looking for things that are just beneath the surface, maybe that those, as Stephen Johnson calls them, those slow hunches, right? Those things that are just beneath the surface that are ready to pop through, but you're not giving yourself the time for them to pop through. And so they stay just beneath the surface. But if you give yourself some thought time, some idea time, then often those slow hunches will begin to come to the surface, and it'll seem like they've been there forever because they have, but they've just been obscured by your busyness and your reactivity. So you haven't really been able to respond. So plan time, be consistent, stay in the dark room and play, and you're trying to synthesize and think systemically. Give yourself enough time to think systemically and think across domains and to connect. Our goal is to develop responsiveness, not reactivity. We want to be able to respond meaningfully with wisdom to problems, not just react to them. 90%+ of people react. They don't respond because they're not taking time to think. If you take time to think, that will be your killer app. And I guarantee you, that will get you where you want to be faster and probably more successfully than you can even imagine. If you just train yourself to think, you will set yourself apart from everyone around you. Okay? Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. interact@accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there. Or join the conversation in the collective at collective.accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time. I'm gonna get in the game.